Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DLG Q1 2018 trading update call. My name is Abby, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected directly to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Paul Geddes to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thanks, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this brief trading update on what has been another busy quarter. You'll have seen our trading statement this morning, so I'm going to give you a bit more color on those highlights and then open up to questions. As usual, I'm joined by members of the management team here with me today. Overall, I'm pleased with the progress we're making on our strategic goals and on how we've traded this quarter, growing our direct own brand premiums by 4.7%. It was an active quarter in respect of weather events, and I'm really proud of how our people supported our customers, again demonstrating the value of our insurance coverage and service. After a very strong 2017, motor margins are returning to more normal levels. Home remained competitive, although we've navigated this well, while both Green Flag and Direct Line for Business had another good quarter overall. I'm pleased to say that our Direct Line brands, particularly in motor and SME, drove much of the growth. So now onto the performance of the individual categories, starting with motor, where we continue to make good progress. At a market level, following strong pricing in the first half of 2017, prices started to reduce and now have returned broadly to pre-Ogden levels, as yesterday's ABI survey showed. This should be seen in the context of the favorable claims environment we saw in 2017, together with the positive news on Ogden and whiplash reform. Net, we judge that the market has behaved rationally. Against this rational backdrop, we grew our own brand policies 5% compared to Q1 last year, and our own brand premiums 5.3%, with growth in both direct and PCW channels. And whilst margins were below the supercharged levels of 2017, they are in line with target levels, and our long-standing focus on value remains. Importantly, we also took a step forward strategically by writing our first policies under the Volkswagen contract. In home, you'll recall our nationwide contract ended at the end of 2017, which drives the headline figures. Own brands grew in-force policies 1.8% compared to prior year, broadly in line with our expectations. And the work we've done on our digital capabilities helped grow in-force policies through our Royal Bank of Scotland partnership, the first quarter-on-quarter growth we've achieved since 2012, and reflects the great progress we've made here. After two benign years, it won't have escaped you that it was a cold quarter. The freezing weather had an impact across the business, and we estimate that across home and commercial, we've used the group's full annual weather budget of £75 million, primarily as a result of the freeze, which equates to about £50 million net of tax and profit commission. Aside from the weather, the actions we've been taking on underwriting, claims and pricing mean we are currently on track with underlying home profitability. Turning to commercial, where we had another good quarter, growing in-force policies 4.7% versus last year. As you know, commercial has two distinct stories within it. Direct Line for Business, or DL4B, is already highly profitable, has been growing and adds to the overall Direct Line franchise. And in Q1, it grew in-force policies 8.1% and premiums 8.4%. In our broker business, NIG, we've been continuing to move returns towards the group's target levels and continuing to prioritize value over volume. And we're making real progress here and saw some good rate in the quarter. In rescue, our direct business, Green Flag, grew premiums 9.6%, helping to partially offset the decline in our partnerships. Overall, we continue on our path of improving the value of the business in this portfolio. Turning to the balance sheet, I can confirm our year-end 2017 solvency capital ratio actually came in at 165%, which is 3 percentage points ahead of the estimate we gave at our preliminary results. So a brief wrap-up before questions. Our multi-brand, multi-channel strategy that succeeded in 2017 has given us momentum into Q1 2018. Overall, we've navigated a complex trading environment well, and we reiterate our financial targets, adjusted for normal weather, and assuming no further change to the Ogden discount rate. And with that, we'll hand over to the operator for questions.
Hey, Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and would like to withdraw your question, please press star 2. I will then retrieve your name and introduce you to the call. Okay, so we've got some questions coming through. So the first question comes from the line of Thomas Dadell. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Three questions, if I may. The first one on home. Last year, you and others reported high claims inflation and the need to take price action. Now, it seems in Q1, we didn't see any price increases, if not perhaps price decreases. Maybe you can comment on the pricing in home and the competitiveness there. Secondly, NIG, you said you took price action, and as a result, you continue to lose market share. My question there is, do you expect this to continue? Is there some hope that you reach a sort of bottom in terms of volume and the rest of the market also starts to take price action, or is it just you taking those price actions? And finally, a brief one on motor, the 5.3% growth in own brands compares rather high to the 2.9 for the total portfolio. Does this mean that the rather small partnership business has seen a substantial drop in volume?
Very good. Thanks, Thomas. A very easy one to start with your third question. Yeah, Sainsbury's, we've stopped writing. So that explains that difference. NIG, the target is to improve the returns, not to reduce the volume. Now, where we have a choice, it'll be a volume hit, but we also have some self-help initiatives in there. So I think broadly we would hope that it would be relatively stable in the coming period, depending on obviously how the market behaves. Penny Home?
Yeah, hi Thomas. Home pricing. So we think if we look at the market, that probably overall rates are around flat. But within that, there's a bit of distortion because there are one or two players putting through quite sharp decreases, and most people actually are putting through rate increases. If we look at our book, we've actually got some pricing away across the channels. But what you're seeing is average premium come off a little due to risk mix. So overall, the margins are, if anything, a little up compared to the previous quarter.
Okay, so the average premium, you say, is mainly mix, not that you, also saw price decreases.
Yeah, we're getting positive rate, but the risk balance is pulling the average premium down.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the next question comes from the line of James Shuck calling from Citi. Please go ahead.
Morning, James.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I just had two relatively simple ones for you, I think. Firstly, just keen to think about the bodily injury claims trends in the year to date. We've had some data, I think, from the Department of Work and Pensions that are suggesting that we've seen a sharp reduction in that year to date, and this is even ahead of the whiplash reform, so perhaps you could just comment on what your experience has been year to date, please. And then secondly, I'm just interested to hear a bit more about the home partnership. Most of that is with RBS, and you've returned to growth, as you say, for the first time for a while. I'm interested to kind of know about the functionality and the modularity of what you're actually offering to customers, and how successful you see that growing from here. Thank you.
Great. Penny, do you want to do the home one first?
Yeah. So Royal Bank of Scotland, NatWest, primarily, as you say, it's been in decline for several years now. What we think has turned it is we're using APIs on the front end to better link together the digital front end for customers, so we can use RBS data to sort of pre-populate a lot of that, and it makes actually the customer journey much, much easier. And that's really been the driver. At the moment, the increase is small, but it's reversed the trend that we've seen for several years, so we're really, really pleased about it.
Yeah, thank you. On bodily injury, listen, we are seeing some more encouraging trends. I think we talked about 2017 being a good year overall, and we said at the time we thought some of that might be the flow through of the previous government reforms, things like Medco and the Jackson reforms and the abolition of referral fees. So all of that we do think is contributing. We also do think that potentially some early signs anticipating the future whiplash regime, that might be somewhat reshaping the response of the legal industry. So again, that might also account for, you know, some more positive bodily injury trends which we're seeing. Slightly hard to read actually in the first quarter because claims trends have been a bit affected by the weather. So whilst actually motor, it's not that been that expensive in terms of the effects of the freeze, it's slightly changed which perils that the claims have come in on. So we'll probably need a few more quarters to get under the skin of it. But we do think BI, good BI trends is part of the reason we say it's a benign and favourable claims environment. And that explains why we're saying that these pricing reductions that we've seen have been rational. And I think actually, listen, if prices had gone up, against those trends improving, I think that would have been, you know, quite reputationally damaging for the industry, given that we've encouraged the government to go and do reform. You know, the quid pro quo is that savings should flow through to the consumer, and I think it's entirely right and predictable that prices should have come back.
I mean, would you say that there's obviously a big rise in whiplash claims over a prolonged period, but more recently, there's no real evidence that whiplash has been increasing. It looks like it's actually been decreasing across the industry. Does that undermine the efforts to get those kind of reforms through with the civil liability bill?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is some of it might be the legal industry anticipating those changes, and there just being less activity in terms of marketing to consumers. So that might be an early benefit of the proposed changes, might be coming through already. And then the last changes we think of, you know, potentially are working, things like Medco. And we think that working and being passed on to consumers should encourage the government to actually enact this legislation. So I think there's a kind of positive reinforcement story happening here. And I think it's a good news story, and people shouldn't be therefore spooked by premiums coming back. I think it'd be dangerous if they weren't coming back. Now, obviously, that gives us a little bit of challenge on our expenses, and we're obviously up and planning on meeting that challenge. Hence, reiterating the target, which includes expense ratio reduction.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Okay, so the next question comes from the line of Arjun Van Veen, calling from UBS. Please go ahead.
Morning.
Thanks. Morning. Just to follow up on that, at the end of last year, you saw claims frequency also improve other than bodily injuries. Can you maybe comment on the rest of the claims environment other than bodily injury? And the second question I had was around pricing. You're saying it's rational. One of your peers reported recently and said that it was more competitive in January, February, and getting more sort of normalised in March. And just curious if you're sort of witnessing similar trends.
Yeah, I think we're not seeing at a market level the same gradation or improvement within those two-month periods. Obviously, competitors move around their competitiveness and therefore their volumes. So some competitors clearly would be more competitive January, February and March and April. Also remember the backdrop, which is the market does have some normal seasonality, which is prices tend to be a bit higher at the end of Q4 and then come back a bit in Q1. Overall, though, we're saying that, you know, based on what we're seeing as industry-level claims data and industry-level pricing, we still think the two are kind of are moving in the same direction. We are actually quite pleased with our own performance. If you look at the ABI data yesterday, whilst their headline was 3.1%, if you adjust for IPT, that takes the industry average premium to plus 1.1. As you can work out, our average premium was up a little bit ahead of that 1.3, but we're also saying that actually we had some mix going in our favour, so our actual pricing was somewhat ahead of that. And part of that is reflecting the fact that we're still behind where we were on young drivers as a result of how we repriced young drivers post-Ogden, which we still feel happy with. So we are quite happy with our own performance. But standing back, we don't think the industry has acted irrationally. Now, of course, that's a backward-looking statement, and I make no forward-looking statements.
And then outside BI in terms of just
yeah, I mean, I think other trends continue. I think the accidental damage, you know, trends that we said, which is that is an inflationary line driven by both, but especially by the cost of repairing cars and with sensors, and the people that took the trip to the garage will remember how complex these cars are now and how much they cost to repair, and that's an ongoing underlying trend.
And you said, just to clarify, you said before that the 1Q abnormal weather didn't impact motor that much. You didn't see increase in frequency on that?
No, I mean, a bit. We'll get over it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, so the next question comes from the line of Edward Morris from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, three questions from me, please. The first is just coming back to these comments on pricing and claims inflation. On the one hand, you sort of seem to be describing a fairly rational market. On the other hand, in your comments, you mentioned last year being a very good period for profitability, and I just wondered if you could sort of reconcile those two things. Are you referring to any component of reserve releases, or is there something underlying that was materially better than expected last year? The second question is on solvency. I wonder if you could just explain the 3% increase, please, where that came from, and if there's any further colour there. And then the third is on the VW partnership. I wonder if you could give us any detail on how significant that is in premium terms, perhaps. Thanks.
Yeah. So the kind of supercharged nature of 2017, part of it was we are not assuming all of the positive experience will trend. So we are kind of saying it might be just a lucky year. Secondly, Ogden was largely paid for by the reinsurers. So it was that was helpful to industry profitability in 2017. Solvency, Penny?
Yeah, no great stories. We estimate, do an early estimate when we come out with the report and accounts. The process continues from there. All the validation routines continue, and some of the model runs are still running. So there's really no great story in the 3 points. It's just the conclusion of the process. I think over time, since the second year we've run Solvency II, those sort of estimates will get tighter and tighter. But no great drama or risk profile changes to report.
I mean, VW in the next few quarters won't move the needle that much because it's a new book and it'll build up. But it's helpful. And, of course, this is quite a long-term ambition that we have. To work with them to really crack car manufacturers selling insurance, which has been a bit, we think is a channel with opportunity. So, as we go forward, we'll tell you more about it. But we've got fantastic strategic alignment with their top team. They're great brands doing really well. And, lots of exciting propositions, I think, ahead for us to jointly develop.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay, so the next question comes from the line of Greg Patterson from KBW. Please go ahead.
Morning, Greg.
Morning, everybody. Can you hear me fine?
Very well.
Yeah, good. Just probably some numbers. I was a bit confused from your results release, so maybe you can just help me with some numbers or make no comments. In terms of UK motor and the overall book, what was the year-on-year rate increase? And what was the mix impact? That's question one. And question two is, just remind me in terms of numbers, what you thought inflation was in 2017. And I remember in March you made some comments about what you thought it would be in 18 in terms of your 3 to 5 range, whereabouts, et cetera. Just if you could remind us of those. And I mean excluding any excess of loss costs when you're talking about the claims inflation. And then thirdly, what in weather, how many points do you think weather or cost of weather affecting the motor line in terms of increased frequency, I assume, assuming you've excluded it from the previous one. And then finally, I think you did say this, but I might have got it wrong. What was your actual year-on-year rate in home versus the mix impacts, just in terms of numbers?
Okay, so Greg, listen, on the we're not certainly on the quarters breaking out rate and mix, but we're giving you a directional sense. So what we're saying is our headline average premium of 1.3% year on year, the mix is going, as in we're getting, it's less risky because we're particularly fewer young drivers. So the pure price is somewhat ahead of the 1.3, materially ahead of the 1.3. So that's the first question. Similarly, we didn't give a number for inflation last year, but I think we indicated it was below the 3 to 5, really quite favourable. Again, we're only a little bit cagey on this because we think it is commercially sensitive what our inflation numbers are.
That is gross of excess of loss changes. Well, obviously that doesn't affect 2000. All right,
yeah.
Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Weather.
Whether
a motor.
Whether a motor. So I think weather on motor, very small really. So it tends to change the nature of the losses rather than the actual volume of them. So a little bit, but not worth taking into account.
And I think your last question was rate price on home, which again we're not going to give you numbers for, but directionally.
Directionally, you know, rate up and directly offset by mix. So all of the AVP is the offset between the two. So yeah, we're comfortable with rate going up, offset by mix.
So home and motor, I think the underlying like for like pricing is better than the AVP would indicate.
But you mentioned something on you said your average premium was up 3.3, but then in motor earlier on, and now you've said it's up 1.1.
I say ABI markets headline up 3.1, right, including IPT. ABI markets including adjusted for IPT up 1.1. US average plus 1.3. But risk adjusted better than 1.3 materially.
All right, I wrote down 3.1. Sorry.
Yeah.
Looks like fake. Apologies.
No worries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, so the next question comes from the line of Andrew Crean calling from Autonomous. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. A couple of questions. Firstly, your Solvency II coverage ratio at 165 is now 5 points, or about 67 million above the 160%, which is where you tend to judge excess capital and return it in special dividends. Does that mean, therefore, that we've got about 67 million of surplus capital return moving into 2017, regardless of what happens this year? And then secondly, could you talk a bit about motor PCW? I know you're trying to get the volumes growing there with a second pricing algorithm. Could you update us on that, please?
Very good.
Yeah. Hi, Andrew. I think the sums are right in terms of coming into the year with 5 points and that kind of headroom. The only thing I'd say is we've said we'll be around the middle of the range, so don't take 160 as absolutely literally to the point. And it's early in the year, but yes, we enter the year in a stronger position.
Okay, thank you.
Conceptually, maybe balance that in your mind against the weather. So anyway, it's obviously up to the board as well. Motor. We're getting slightly ahead of ourselves with that particular initiative helping us on PCWs. We're still in development on that. Very excited by it, but it's, as we said, once we've got the model, we need to deploy it, test that it writes the customers we expect, test they don't have the accidents that we expect. So that's going to be, it was in our somewhat medium to long term charts, if you remember last time. But generally on PCWs, we're competing well. We're kind of particularly focused on it, and so we'll be talking about it, I would say, more as we go forwards.
So when do you bring the pricing algorithm in?
We've been a little bit cagey, but I'm looking at the team doing it actually. I'm trying to get a signal. I mean, listen, it's not that far away. But the first thing we'll do is really just drip some policies on one comparison website into the market. So this is, it's still in R&D mode, but we're excited about the opportunity. But it really probably starts moving the needles, in the medium term of the plan. But we're still very excited about it because it could be quite big in the future.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so the next question comes from the line of Wajah Parizi calling from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Wash from Deutsche Bank. I have two questions for you. So first is on risk mix. So you have been reducing risk mix consistently for a while now. And I think going back to the full year presentation, you talked about steady footprint expansion. So I was just trying to gauge that looking forward, would you be putting risk mix back on once your new pricing model is up and running? Or is there a fundamental reason why you're reducing your risk mix on the motor book? Secondly, can you provide more color on the market dynamics since the civil liability bill announcement came out? Are you still seeing a rational pricing environment in the market? Thank you.
Yeah, good questions. So on risk mix, it's kind of the maths have reduced our risk footprint as we think, scientifically priced the Ogden impact, that has made us less competitive for young drivers. So it's not a desire to reduce young drivers, it's just maths have driven it. And you're right, net, we would like to see, you know, over time, we've got an appetite to write that sort of business, but we'll only write it when it's, when the computer says yes to it. So it's we're not constraining anything. And yes, we do have some initiatives on home and motor to start pushing that out. So it'd be very favorable, right? It'd be very helpful in this sort of claims, in this pricing environment and claims environment to be pushing that out. But we obviously won't drop our value obsession in order to do that. So it'd be nice to see it happen, but it'll only happen when the computer says it should.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I think in the pricing environment, you know, we're saying it has been rational. Obviously, the market has got to make an assessment of both Ogden, albeit it's you know, once a year you need to make a decision when you see the reinsurance prices. But on the whiplash reform, we have to make an assessment of likelihood of it happening, timing of it happening, impact of it happening, and we have to start kind of, you know, we obviously have weightings of the three of those, and then as you approach next April, it's obviously an increasing part of your calculation. So today it's only a month of the premium that we need to get right, and then it'll grow. So I mean, we are, you know, I'm saying our majority bet is that it will happen, and we hope it'll happen in April. There's lots to get done by April. There's a portal to build and test and make sure it works. And then obviously the impact depends on the exact wording of the bill. And of course, how consumers and lawyers, respond and adapt what they do. So there's a bit of unknowns in all of it. What we're saying is as we see it today, the existing claims environment that we're seeing and the future anticipation create a claims level that we think is supporting current pricing in the market. So that all goes into this use of the word rational. We will, you know, assuming it stays rational, we'll be doing what we're doing. If it goes irrational, we will, you know, keep our value focus very firmly on, and that'll give us more challenge on the expense ratio and expenses, and that's a challenge historically we've met.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, so we have no further questions in the queue, so please be reminded, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your keypad now. Okay, so we just had another question come through. So it's from Greg Patterson from KBW. Please go ahead.
The Pest from St. Paul's.
very good.
Just a quick, just interested in updates on the retail IT platform, where we are, timing, etc. Is it going well, or are we going to have another write down at the half year?
I'd be astonished and disappointed if we did. So I don't expect that. No, I think on track, on plan, working hard, lots of people doing lots of work. You know, pleased with progress, on track.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, and the next question comes from the line of Dom O'Mahony. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dom.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got three here. The first one, just on the normalisation of margins in motor, can you just confirm that comment relates to the accident year rather than any reference to prior year? The second, just on the rescue and other personal lines item, I just wanted to sort of understand what's really driving the sort of the long-term decline in partnership rescue. And also just to hear if you had any comments on the direction of travel in the other, so the non-rescue component of that, any movements of note in that line. And then thirdly, just a sort of a detailed question. In a normal year, what proportion of your weather budget do you normally expect to use up in Q1? Clearly it's a big quarter for weather, but just, is it half of the budget or is it more? Thank you.
Yeah, so first question, yes. Rescue, last time at the full year, we talked about kind of three channels, and we talked about partnerships. And the role partnerships have for us in rescue is purely volume. It's very, very marginally priced. So we don't really do it for the profit. We do it because having more drivers means we can have more vans, and we can be in the Highlands, and we can be near more motorways more quickly. So it's not that meaningful, that reduction. It's largely driven by the reduction in package accounts volume, where it's a feature of package accounts. So that's that. I mean, elsewhere, I mean, there's some good businesses tucked in there. I mean, we, at some stage we'll come and talk to you about pets. I spent a day on the pet business yesterday. You know, we've got an opportunity in pets. You know, there's some gems within that, but we'll forthcoming attractions. I would say we'll come and talk to you about that. Penny on the weather.
Yeah, on the weather, I mean, we allocate the load, but we don't really think about it in those terms. We're in the business of kind of helping people through the big issues when they happen. We just don't know when those spikes will occur, so we don't have a particular view on how we spread it across the year. It's academic, and we load the first and fourth quarter slightly, but it's not, I would say, particularly meaningful. You know, we had two very benign years last year where we took next to no weather losses, so it's just this quarter's turn.
Thank you.
Okay, so we currently have no further questions, so I'll hand you back to your host to conclude today's conference.
Well, terrific, guys. Well, so we'd, at some stage, feedback on our new shorter format would be appreciated. I hope you liked it and the new shorter call, so hopefully that's met your needs. Hopefully you've got a good understanding of how we're moving ahead. We can't affect the weather. We can't affect the motorcycle, but everything else within our control, I think we're doing well and to plan. So thank you very much for your time, and speak to you again soon.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets.